All right, today we're going to dedicate our youngest grandson, Rory, and we're going to get Finley and his daddy down here in just a second, too. Y'all come on. The story that I think of is from Samuel, where Hannah was desirous of a child. She goes to the house of the Lord every year, and Eli overhears her praying, "Hey, buddy. All right, come here. Come here. Poppy will hold you." Okay. All right. And he wanted to, he heard her praying, and he thought she was drunk. But year after year, she had been made fun of by the other women because she hadn't had a child. Well, she gets pregnant after that. The prayer there at the house of God. And she has a child. And that child's name was Samuel, Shemuel. And she literally, when she weaned him, she gave him to the Lord. We don't baptize infants. We don't baptize people until they make their personal profession of faith in Jesus. But the ceremony that we do have is one we call dedication, as we dedicate a child to the Lord. We dedicated young Finley some time back, and you remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. He's very cooperative. This is my son-in-law, Craig, that proudly serves our country as a pilot in the Army Reserve, and I thank God for him. And my daughter, Megan. They are the Calders, and this is Rory, baby.
Hold still.
Rory Bennett Calder, and we want to dedicate him to the Lord today. So if you want to come down, we're going to anoint him. If you want to lay hands on them, we'll... All right. A lot of things I didn't understand about grandparenthood till it came. And now I can't explain it to anybody. I'd also invite y'all, we're going to leave this little Precious Moments Bible on the table up here. If after the service you want to come up and write a note to Rory that he'll read when he's an adult. His mom will read it this afternoon, but he'll read this when he's an adult. All right. Okay, hurry up, Poppy. We anoint you, Rory Bennett Calder, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come this day, and we thank you for bringing this young man into the world. I thank you for his mommy and daddy and his big brother, and Lord, especially for him. Lord, I know you have set him aside as your child. Lord, we pray for the day when Rory will ask Jesus into his heart and will join the rest of his family. We pray your protection upon him. We pray that he will grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. If you have a word you'd like to speak out loud right now, that the Lord puts on your heart for Rory, say it right now. Thank you for these words, Lord. We receive them joyfully. And I pray for his mom and daddy as they raise him according to your word and according to your plan. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Huh? Priscilla, come up here for a minute. Don't hurt me now. Priscilla is going to serve our country, and she's going to represent us where and when and doing what?
Well, I fly out of here on the 8th that night, and then we're going to be flying from here to New York, from New York to China with a 15-hour layover, and then we're going to Brisbane, Australia, and I'm going to be competing in the world... The Draft Legal Sprint World Championship Triathlon. my event may not be televised on TV, but I think they have maybe a live stream on the internet, so you'll be able to stream. My event starts at 11:15 on the 13th. So that would be about 9:15 here local time at night. And you can also track me if I'm going to be sending back my information, and I'll have my bib number so you can track me to see where I'm at and the placement and all that other stuff.
And we will send that out to your email address. These Girl Scout cookies, this box of them back there has information on here about that. If you'd like to donate, they're still a few bucks short on this trip and could use the money. You can send it to us. We'll make sure it gets to them. But what you do, you need to do quickly. And these cookies are out there. You can take those if you want to give a donation. Or you can just give a donation, don't take the cookies. Or you can take the cookies, David said, and hand them out. God bless you.
You can have that.
Thank you very much. Very proud of Priscilla. God bless you. How many of you have ever been on a treasure hunt? Stand up, David Strickland. Stand up in the back there. Have you ever been on a treasure hunt before? And did you have great anticipation that you would find something? And have you found something that was worth some money before? And the biggest, I'm giving you a chance now, the biggest treasure that you ever found in your life was, say? Oh, he's done gone spiritual on us. And then next to him. Okay, all right, that's all. All right, that's everything that, Bobby, did I get it all right? Okay, you need to hear some of David's tales about things that he's found. Metal detector over the years. I mean, real going on a real live treasure hunt. I mean, where at the end of the day, you find a treasure. How many of you have seen the movie Count of Monte Cristo? The latest movie. How many of you read the book? Well, you know, there's some discrepancies there between the movie and the book. The movie is a whole lot more romanticized than the book was. And you see that the guy does find this treasure. But when he finds the worldly treasure, he realizes that that treasure won't fill the hole in his soul. Now, he was warned of that, but he finally got to see it in living color in his life. Now today we're going to read another story, a very short parable, as we continue this series, Stories That Live. And the title of today's message is God's Treasure Hunt. You see, the Lord wants you to be on a real live treasure hunt. He does have treasure for you. Let's read the story. It's one verse, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden in a field, which a man found, and then he hid it again, and from joy over it. By the way, you have to watch which translations that you read this in, because some of the translations, you lose something in the translation. But this translation is very, very accurate to what the original text said. And from joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we ask that you would take this story, this parable to our heart, that we will remember who and what is our greatest treasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now imagine that you were out digging. Now, there's probably very, very few of you in this room that have dug as much as I have. My dad didn't have wouldn't buy a backhoe or a ditch witch. He handed me a shovel. And when I worked for him, that's what I did all day long. We dug the ditches in the morning. We put the conduit in the middle of the day. And we covered them up in the afternoon. $1.60 an hour. Man, a whole lot better than a payment on a backhoe or a ditch witch. And he told me that one day. But when you're digging and you find something, you find something of great value. In the story, that's what this guy does. He finds, he's digging there in a field. He finds this treasure, but then he hides it. He goes and sells everything that he has. And the scripture says, he hid it again, and from the joy of it, that's the part of the verse that some of the translations don't do a good job with. And from the joy of it, he goes and sells everything that he has. He puts everything on the line. Imagine right now that you found a treasure that was worth everything that you own. Everything you have in the bank, house, cars, everything that was worth you going and hocking all that so you could buy that piece of land where you found the treasure. Imagine that. Imagine something that valuable that brought you that much joy immediately. I mean, fill in the blank what the treasure could be. A bag of diamonds? You know, he said, I tried to get David a few weeks on a story that I'd embellished a little bit. Not that I've ever done that with a story. But I'd kind of embellished it a little bit that gold coins were washing up on the shore in Jacksonville. Now imagine you found a stash of a hoard of gold like that. What's gold an ounce now? 1,200, something like that, 1,300. Imagine you found a treasure that was so valuable that you'd be willing to give everything you had for it. Now, he says, Jesus, in telling the story, says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He said, it's like this hidden treasure. So let me ask you four questions. Four questions about the story. Number one, can you begin to see what God is revealing to you right now? Now this guy discovers this treasure. Is God trying to get your attention to unveil a treasure to you? That's right before your eyes? Something that's so valuable that you'd be willing to give everything you have for it. Is He beginning to do that? Are your eyes opening to this treasure? Second question. Can you see the value of this treasure? Now specifically, the treasure we're talking about is the kingdom of heaven. To get to spend forever with Him starting right now. Yeah, it is pie in the sky by and by when you die, but it's pie right now too. There's no better life than the life of a believer on this earth. There's nothing that compares to it. It's a down payment, if you will. Just like the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the down payment of, He's the earnest money of our salvation. That when you invite Jesus into your life to become Lord and Savior of your life, the very Spirit of Jesus Himself comes and takes up residence in you. That becomes the down payment of everything God is going to do in your life. And He changes you. He changes you radically. Now, for some people, bam, that happens like that. That change, you see it overnight. For others, it's more of a slow burn, a slow boil, if you will. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, there's change. Can you see the value of this treasure, this value of a relationship with Him that lasts forever, a relationship that goes beyond the grave. Now, all you need to do, and think about particularly some of our younger folks that are here, read some stories. Just go out on the net. You can read some stories of all these old people who are devoid of any relationship to Jesus that are holding on to every ounce of this life while they can. Because they think, hey, everything is in this life. They're not even they don't believe in Jesus. The people the pharaohs of Egypt, you know, how were they buried? Well, it was tough if you were one of the servants of the Pharaoh when he died. Because guess what you got to do? You got the privilege to go into the grave with him. All that, you know, King Tut, you know, Tutankhamun. They're all of that splendor thinking that in some way he was a god. Click. He died. And what happened in the next click? He was eternally separated from God. Never, never to have another opportunity to come before Him. You see, the value of this treasure which Jesus offers to us is a choice we get to make in this life, but it has an expiration date. Third question, what are you willing to give for the treasure? Now, if the treasure is this eternal relationship with Jesus, and He's offered that through Himself as He offers to us a relationship forever with Him and all the things that the kingdom means, not just the part of what God is doing here in the time of the church, but across the ages, His kingdom work. Another sermon for another day. But His kingdom work, He offers all of this to us who will come to Him in faith and trust and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. What does that mean when you say Lord Jesus? Let's put it in context. Because you see, we really don't have a good synonym in our culture and our language for the word Lord that we would regularly use in a positive way. To kids, sometimes we use the word boss, the one who is over you. But even that has a lot of negativity attached to it. This is a totally beneficent Lord, a good Lord, one who has your best interest, but who has absolute authority for all time. Has authority over everything in your life. In fact, He's the one who spun this world into existence, who spoke you into existence. He speaks Adam and Eve into existence, this world. So what are you willing to give for this treasure of relationship with Him? So what do we have that we can trade God of equal value that will get us a relationship with Him and a seat in His kingdom forever? Do we have anything? What do you have? What do you have? Your soul. That's what He gave you, right? So even your soul is a gift. People think, well, I'll give Him this, or I'll give Him that. I'll get what things that belong. Well, what and who He wants is you. You can't buy it. And even that is not a trade, because it's by grace you're saved. You get something you don't deserve when He gives you the gift of salvation. You don't work for it. You know, every other religion in the world, all these false religions, in every case, they're all about works. It's about what man can do. In our Judeo-Christian heritage that we possess, Our relationship with God is not based on our working our way to Him. It's a gift that we receive. It's finding a treasure. And we simply respond to Him saying, Lord, I'm throwing myself at Your feet, at Your mercy. I am clinging only to You. Everything I am and I have, it belongs to You because You become my Lord. Fourth question. How will the treasure that God gives you change your life? Well, I want to point you back to the verse. Let's read the verse again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. Do you think the kingdom of heaven is hidden from most of the people in our society? Do you think so? I know it is. Because people are living like hell. They're not living like heaven. They're living like hell. It's hidden in a field. Which a man found, and then he hid it again. And here's what reveals what his heart is about. He says, and from joy over it, he goes. He sees the treasure and he realizes this treasure is so valuable. Immediately he knows that. Do you remember the day when you received Jesus in your life? That time when that transaction took place for you, that faith transaction took place for you, and you realized, man, I can't save myself. I can't do enough good deeds to ever mount up to make me good enough to be with God, to be part of the kingdom of heaven forever, and to be with Him. And when it dawned on you, man, He's trying to give it to me. I can't work for it. He's trying to give it to me. And we made that transaction. And we received Him. And then what happens to our lives? What happens? They're changed. They're changed. They're changed totally. I mean, look around you. Look at the people that, I mean, really given their lives to Jesus and those who have not. Now, a lot of people say they belong to Jesus that don't. It's evident from their lives, right? A lot of people throughout the ages that they've claimed connection with being Christian, but, oh, man, you look at their lives and it's not. I'm not talking that Jesus, that suddenly you don't do any wrong things anymore. You don't sin anymore. That's bogus because Paul dealt with that. You know, we've seen Romans chapter 7 as he struggled with sin in his life. But to see that God gives you the victory, that He'll work even in that. But your life, the bent of your life changes. You were headed to an eternal, everlasting hell. And Jesus put a roadblock out there for you. Got your attention. But listen to me. It's not like people are going to go to hell. That's where they're already headed. He comes. And the word repent means that. It means to think again. It means we turn. We do an about face. We're headed in one direction. Boom! And He turns us around. And our lives change. And you see it in people. I've watched it. I've watched it all my life. I've watched people do this. I can give you hundreds of examples of people that I've watched their everyday life change when Jesus came in. And I'll tell you again, I don't know how many more opportunities I'll get while breath is in His body, but watching my daddy when I was a little kid for 10 years without Jesus, man, as a little boy, as a 10-year-old boy, I could not put it. It was hard for me to verbalize what I watched happen. And thinking about it now, it's even hard for me to, to put words on it to describe. Now, my daddy didn't become perfect. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. You've been around him. You've lived around him. You know he's been kind of crusty at times. And he kind of get a little on a short fuse side of life sometime. But listen, all that being said, I watched him. I had the best seat in the house. And I watched his life change over and over and over again. I've watched that same story of people finding this hidden treasure. And what do so many people say about when they come to Jesus and they become a part of His family? They say, how did I miss it all these years? I was stepping over it. I couldn't understand. It didn't make sense to me. Try to reason it out until you discover and you see that treasure. Joy. That's the word. That's the word. Some of the translations don't exactly, they've got it in there, but it's not like this translation here. And from joy over it, he goes and sells everything. He got it. Remember the lame guy that went there in the book of Acts that went walking and leaping and praising God? Man, got a case of the happies. God, listen, first time I ever went to a college football game. Y'all wondered how I was going to get this in here, I know. The first time that Audrey and I ever went to a college football game, one of the greatest gifts that a friend of mine, he gave us tickets to a dog's game, and we'd never been to a college football game before. We had seats in the end zone. Weren't that great of seats. But I watched people do stuff that I never thought was possible, that you could do in a space like this. Like that. I mean, that little seat, if you've been working on the groceries pretty good, it's even tighter in there, if you know what I'm talking about. And I was a lesser man back then, but man, I saw people do stuff I didn't know you could do in space like that. I mean, we started out hollering, and then we were standing up, then we were jumping up and down. Then somebody in front of me decided they jumped up in their seat. So guess what? I had to get up in my seat so I could see. And then they started jumping up and down in their seat. I thought, man, I was sitting there watching that. I said, man, I'd like to see this happen at church. Ooh, I ambushed you there, didn't I? Whew. And they only had this much space. Joy. Now that joy only lasted a week because the next week they're liable to lose. And then nobody's jumping up. They're doing something else with their hands up in the stadium. But this joy we're talking about in this verse is a joy that lasts. It's a joy, a smile that the devil can't wipe off of your soul because it's real. It's real. Inside. So kid years ago he was in his little Sunday school class. He kept jumping up and down, and teacher kept going over there saying, hey, you need to calm down, quit jumping up and down. And he's just shaking his head, and he finally just sits down, and he's just sitting there, and teacher comes over and said, well, why aren't you saying anything? He said, you told me I can't jump up and down. He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still jumping up and down. That's what Jesus does to people. I want to ask you this question. Do you know Him? Have you made this transaction I'm talking about? Have you received this gift? And it is a gift. It's a treasure that you find. And He gives that gift. Have you received that gift or not? It's not about how much good works you do. It's not even about baptism. All baptism does is an outward sign of something that's already happened to you on the inside. It becomes a statement of your faith. So what I'm asking you, has that happened to you? Have you made that transaction with Him and received that gift? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Second question. Has everybody in your family received that gift? Third question. Has everybody where you work received that gift? Fourth question. Has everybody in your connection, in your neighborhood, everybody you know received that gift? If you answered no to any of those questions, you've still got a purpose on this earth. There's a couple of my family members. If they got it right with the Lord, I'd be ready to go on to heaven right now. I'd be ready to go. But they hadn't yet. So I'm inviting you to pray today. If you've never received Him, I'm going to pray a prayer today. You can pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. If you've never done that before, I joined the church. I'm not asking you to join any church. I'm asking you to join Jesus. Have Him in your life to say yes to Him. I was 12 years old. It was a Friday night. I'd gone to sleep on the couch in our den at our house on 1312 Crossbrook Place, where my daddy lives today. I woke up and a Billy Graham crusade was on. I don't know why it was on late on Friday night, but it was on. And here's Billy Graham. I remember his words just like it was yesterday. I was 12, so that's 52 years ago. As he looked into the camera, he said, "Won't you just say yes to Jesus?" I ask you that question. Won't you say yes to Jesus? Let's pray. Now, if you've never done business with Him before, this is the day the Lord has made. And here's the prayer. You can pray it in your own words or pray after me this prayer. Dear Lord, I realize that I need You. I realize I have sinned. And today, September 2nd, 2018, I ask You to forgive my sin and come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant business with God today, and He meant business with you, and we'd sure like to know about it. Pastor Dane, Miss Kathy will be down here, and Miss Audrey will be on the other side. If you want to come and let us know about that so you publicly can profess your faith in Jesus, we invite you to come. We also invite you to come today if you want to come and pray for all those other groups of people. Friends, family, work associates, come and intercede in their behalf. They want to go get someone and join you here at the altar to pray for them and pray for their salvation today, that they would come to Jesus and place yourself at His disposal. You know, this isn't a drive-by prayer. This is a drive-in prayer. This is, Lord, I'm asking You to do this and I'm willing to be a part of You bringing salvation into the lives of these people. Do You love them enough to pray for them, to intercede for them? The altar is open. I want to give you this opportunity as part of our worship. If you want to bring those cards, there's a basket in front and in the back. If you want to bring your offering to the Lord today. Look this way if you will. One more reminder, if you want, write young Rory. I'm being a granddaddy today, but don't I get that some days? You know, I get that privilege just to act like a obnoxious grandparent. Can I get a witness on that? All right, yes, sir. So, write him a little note there. On another note, been praying about this all week, and God began last Sunday to do something. I can't describe all of it. And I hesitate to even say this publicly but Lord, let me know, you don't have control over all this stuff. I do. But He began to do something last Sunday, right here. Last Sunday. I don't know what it was. But if God was speaking to you last week and He's speaking to you, let's be obedient to Him this week, okay? Whatever He was saying to you, let's say yes to it, all right? That's all I got to say. All right. Well, I was trying to see if I'd missed anybody that needed a public encouragement. And I guess, okay, Jim. Jim needs a hug today. Hug Jim today. All right. Let me send you out in the name of the Lord. Lord, thank You for hearing and answering our prayers. Thank You that You're with us. And we honor You today, our Lord, our Father, and we dwell under Your authority. We honor You, Jesus, our Savior and Master. And we honor You, Holy Spirit, our guide, the power that is in us. Lord, as we sang it at the beginning, fire. Lord, let us burn brightly for You this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be careful tomorrow.